And God's word is devil destruction power. With my Bible, I can defeat the devil every single day. This is my Bible. My Bible is the word of God. And God's word is the revelation of his will for my life. Whatever it says I am, that's what I am. Whatever it says I can do, I can do it. Whatever it says I have,
I claim it.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we had to hear your word, to teach your word, to preach your word. Father God, let your word reside and renew the minds of your people in Jesus' name, that they may be doers and not hearers only. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. Again, I want to welcome Angela, or as I like to call her, Angel, and Jeremiah into our worship service this morning. God bless you both. We are so glad to have you.
My Bible, it had a scripture of the day, and that was it.
1 John 2:14. 1 John 2. Oh, yeah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. That means the Holy Spirit is really renewing you, brother. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah.
That's great.
You
did it by yourself.
Well, maybe I need to have you just come up in here and read it then. Come on up. Read verse 14 real loud for me, Brother Radimus. Yeah. Yes. But make it loud because you're being recorded.
All right. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is formed from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one.
Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
So God, who inspired the Apostle John to write this, has given us his word, and Pastor Mary, who I was starting to say, man, she's about to steal a good portion of my sermon today, pointed out in John chapter 15 how in order for us to see answers to prayer, the word of God must be abiding in us. Praise God.
Amen.
John chapter 15, verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye ask whatsoever ye will and it shall be done. You see, Satan knows that if you get your prayers answered, then he is already defeated. Glory to God.
Amen.
And so we looked at Luke chapter 8, verse 12, which tells us that Satan comes to steal the word from our hearts. See, if he can steal the word from you, he can keep you from receiving answers to your prayers. He can keep you defeated. But if you get into this book, you meditate on this book, you read this book, you study this book, you memorize this book, and let it get inside of your heart, then you will have victory in every single circumstance, every single time, praise God.
Amen.
That's what happened with Jesus. See, Jesus was just like you and me when he came to the earth, praise God.
Amen.
Jesus, yes, Jesus is God. He's the second member of the triune Godhead. But when he came to earth, he became a man because he wanted to show us how we are actually supposed to live. So when he came to earth, he had to study these scriptures just like you and I have to study these scriptures. Praise God. And we are not above our master. And so when he was in the wilderness being tempted, then Jesus always came out with, it is written. He didn't face the temptation and say, oh my Lord, what am I going to do? Father, help me. No. He stood up against the devil and said, it is written. See, when Satan comes to us, our first reaction is to cry out to God and say, oh God, help me, the devil's trying to destroy me. No, get into this book. Praise God.
Amen.
Your prayer should be happening long before the devil comes to you. When the devil comes and starts trying to mess with your life, that is not the time to pray. Amen?
Amen.
You should be having a constant devotional prayer life. You should be getting up in the morning praying. You should go to bed praying. You should be praying during lunchtime. You should pray before your meals. But when the devil comes to you, it's time to act on the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's time to get that word, let the word get in you, so when the devil comes at you, it comes out of you. Glory to God.
Amen.
And when you're faced with temptation, when you're faced with the temptation of sin, don't pray. Begin to speak the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Begin to speak with authority and say, it is written. When, for example, men, because you know us men, we have a problem with this. When that fine looking woman starts walking by you and the magnetic eyes start going, glory be to Jesus. That is the time, not the time for you to say, oh God, help me. The time now is to say, oh, the Bible says I will not look upon a woman with lust in my heart, praise God. The Bible says that I made a covenant with my eyes not to look upon a maiden, praise God.
Amen.
That's when you begin to speak the word of God. I tell you, that works much more powerfully than for you to say, oh God, help me. Because while you're saying, oh God, help me, you're still looking. God, help me. You say, oh, Jesus, help me. You know what I'm talking about, brothers. I know you sisters don't have a problem with that, don't do you?
Man,
oh, yeah, right. I've seen you. Well, but praise God. You've got to learn to get the word of God in you so that in the times of temptation and sin, it comes out of you. This will only work for you if you're born again, by the way. Glory to God. See, if you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you come to walk in the new birth, then you will have the Holy Spirit residing in you, and He will give you the power, and He will give you the scripture. He will bring the scriptures out of you, and then you will begin to speak the word of God whenever you're in a difficult trial or temptation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But 1 John chapter 2, verse 14, as Brother Radimus read, I'm already prophesying over you, brother. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong. Say, I am strong.
I am strong.
See, that is a present tense reality. Ye are strong. If the word of God is abiding in you, then ye are strong. Praise God.
Amen.
It's no longer a need for you to say, oh, please pray my strength in the Lord. No, get yourself into the word of God and get the word of God in you, and nobody has to pray for your strength in the Lord, because you will have strength. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then you can learn to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said that that God's strength is made perfect in my weakness. Glory to God.
Amen.
The Bible says that the Lord is, not going to be, but is the strength of my life. See, you need to learn to claim God's present tense promises for you right now. It doesn't matter how you feel. See, Paul didn't say, oh, I feel weak. He said, no, when I am weak, then I am strong. He didn't say, well, I feel weak, so I guess I'm weak. No, Paul made a positive confession of the word of God. He says, when I am weak, then I am strong. Because he had the word of God in him. So, you know, that's where people, they misconstrue and misunderstand that teaching about the thorn in the flesh. And they say, well, you know, Paul was sick, and Paul asked God to help him, and God said no. No, that's not what the scripture says. The scripture never, not any place says that God, first of all, never says that the thorn is sickness. That's number one thing. For somebody who traveled as much as Paul did, and preached as much as Paul did, and was persecuted and beaten as much as Paul did, he couldn't have been sick. I'm telling you. The man went through 3 shipwrecks. He went through beatings, stonings, persecutions, was chased from city to city. How could a sick man go through all that? You tell me. Most of us, when we're sick, I got a cold, I'm staying home today. No. Paul couldn't have been sick and have gone through all that, praise God.
Amen.
And when Paul asked God 3 times to remove the thorn from him, God did not say no. He said, Paul, my grace is, say is.
Yes.
He said, my grace is sufficient for you, praise God.
Yeah.
In other words, he said, my grace is power, Paul. My grace gives you the ability to deal with every situation, every single circumstance, anything that the Satan will throw at you. And that's what the Bible says, that thorn was a messenger of Satan. It doesn't say it came from God. It says that it was a messenger of Satan, praise God.
Amen.
When God sends messengers, he sends angels. He sends you. Now you say, I'm not an angel. Well, we're going to keep praying. You'll start acting like one. But
Amen.
Praise God. But God says, he sends you or angels. He doesn't send demons. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God tells Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm teaching stuff that I was not even planning on teaching today. I was going to talk about Paul's thorn in the flesh a couple of weeks from now. But But you're getting it today, you're getting it ahead of time. You're getting a little bit of it ahead of time. We'll deal with it more in a couple of weeks and we'll really break this down for you so that you'll stop believing traditional foolishness. We're also going to be teaching you about Job so that you can stop believing that God goes and sicks the devil on you for laughs. Satan, I bet you can't destroy that person. I bet I can. All right, we'll try it then. No, that's not God. Amen?
Amen.
That's not your God. Your God is looking out for your best interest, praise God. Hallelujah. But we'll get more into that in a later time. But it says, ye are strong. Say, I am strong.
I am strong.
Because the word of God. Say it with me. Say, the word of God.
The word of God.
Abideth in me.
Abideth in me.
And I have.
And I have
overcome the wicked one. See, Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection, has defeated the enemy for you. And therefore, if you begin to know what the Word of God says about Jesus' victory over the devil, and you begin to walk in light of that covenant connection you have with Jesus through the Word of God, then you are an overcomer because of what Jesus has done. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. But the first thing you've got to do is learn to deal with sinful habits in your life. Mm-hmm. See, I can sit here and talk about all the goodies that God wants to give his people. And I love talking about them. I love talking about divine healing. We're going to be teaching on divine healing, how you can believe God for miracles in your body, how you can believe God to let allow you to be one of his agents of healing physically as well as spiritually, praise God. We're going to teach you that. We're going to teach you how you can be a miracle worker for Jesus Christ. God did not remove miracles. He wants us to do them today. We're going to talk about how God wants to prosper you emotionally, financially, in all these other areas. God wants to do all that for you. But the first thing you need to deal with is issues of sin in your life, praise God. So the word of God is in you, not just to get you all those good things. As Pastor Mary was stating earlier, you know, we want to come to God. We want to just ignore God and do what we want to do until some problem comes our way. And then all of a sudden, God, help me. No, if you got the word of God abiding in you, you will never have to do that. You can continue to have fellowship with God every single day. And then when problems confront you, instead of saying, God help me, you can begin to speak the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So turn with me to Psalm 119. I want you to see that it is possible to live a sin-free life. I'm teaching you something that a lot of preachers don't want to teach you because a lot of preachers themselves want to live in sin. And so they want to have an excuse to live in sin. So they want to tell you that it's okay for you to live in sin. Well, you know, Brother Troy, things, we're just not perfect yet. We just haven't reached that pinnacle of perfection. But when we get to heaven, then God will help us to live a sin-free life. But here on earth, we're going to slip. We're going to fall. I remember when I was getting out of the Air Force, and I was struggling with some areas of sin in my life. And I was thinking, you know, God, how can I get out of the Air Force and serve you when I'm still dealing with some of these areas? God spoke this word to me. He said, son, he reminded me of what Jude said, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and falling. And he said, son, I can keep you if you want to be kept. That's what he told me. He said, I can keep you if you want to be kept. And I realized that it's not about me. It's not about how great of discipline I have. Now, you do need to exercise discipline, but it's about God's strength being sufficient for me. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's able to keep me. Psalm 119. Now, you're going to see that Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11, match almost word for word what John says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. He's talking to young men in 1 John chapter 2, right?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Y'all was paying attention. I mean, we've been reading the scripture for a while. But look at Psalm 119, verse 9. It says, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? How? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Praise God. How many young men do we have in here? Everybody should be raising their hand. Women, you should be raising your hand too. You are, in the Bible language, we're all men in Christ Jesus. Praise God.
Amen.
don't feel bad, ladies, because men, we get to be part of the bride of Christ. So y'all don't have to feel too bad, okay? So, but usually when it talks about men, it's talking about both sexes, men and women. So men and women, we can cleanse our ways by the word of God.
Yeah.
John chapter 15, verse 3, a scripture that Pastor Mary was teaching from earlier, talks about how Jesus said, "I spoke my word to cleanse you." Glory to God. So you can cleanse your ways by taking heed thereto according to thy word, to his word. "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." You got to know the commandments in order not to wander from them, praise God.
Amen.
If they're not in you, you're going to wander from them. Now look at verse 11. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." God's word has to be hidden in your heart in order for you not to yield to satanic temptation. That's why John could tell the young men, he said that you are overcomers because God's word is in you. Praise God.
Amen.
God's word is in you. Then you can be overcomers. You don't have to fall into sexual temptation. Now I'm really talking to young men here. Young men. Emmanuel, Teddy, Landry. You young men, y'all don't have to fall into sexual temptation. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. But if you're struggling with it, get married. Praise God.
Amen.
Get married. There's nothing wrong with sex within the context of marriage. Amen. There's nothing wrong with sex at all. Sex is a wonderful thing. It's beautiful. And unless you are called to be an Apostle Paul, which I ain't. You know, Apostle Paul was called to be single. He didn't have to get married. I don't have that gift. Amen. And if you don't have that gift and you're struggling, get married, because it's better to marry than to burn. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. But before you get married, you don't have to struggle. You can still get into God's word and say, "I'm hiding this word in my heart so that I don't sin against my Father God." Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, this flesh is always, whether you're married or not, you still got to deal with lust issues. Amen.
Amen.
You know, sometimes, see, it's just like a car. You get a nice brand new car, and then your neighbor drives another car down the street, and you're like, "Man, I wish I'd gotten that one instead." That's what happens to many times when we get married. We find a woman, and then the devil tempts us and says, "See that one over there? See, if you had waited just one more month, you could have had that one." See? y'all know how the devil is. Even if you would have had that one, the devil would have brought another one before you.
Yeah.
That's the way Satan works. So the best thing to do is not so much external thing, but getting the word in your heart so that you won't sin against him, whether you're married or unmarried. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So you got to get the word of God in you, and that's how you defeat the devil and everything he tries to do against you. Last week we looked at Judges chapter 6, and we saw that God had declared that Gideon was a mighty man of valor. And God had told him that I've already given you victory over the Midianites. God told him all this. However, God's told him there's some obstacles that are standing in your way. And some of those obstacles were some of these idols that his family was worshiping. Turn with me to Judges chapter 6. See, I'm trying to teach you something today, because you've got to get the sin out of your life. You've got to remove Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. We're going to just look at a few scriptures today, because I want you to really learn to conquer sin in your life. It's possible to do, but it's only possible after you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. See, before I came to know Jesus, I kept saying, "Well, you know, I'm going to try to fix myself first, and then I'll get saved." It don't work that way. Because the more I tried to fix myself, the worse I got. The more I could go a couple of months not going down that alley. I could go a couple of months not visiting that woman. But then someday that urge comes on, and all rationale leaves your mind, and you go and do the very thing that you want to do, and then later you hate yourself. Mm-hmm. And you say, oh man, I know I can't get saved now because I went right back and did that again. No! The best thing for you to do is to get saved so that God can give you his power and his word so that you can stop doing that thing, praise God. Amen. It was after I got saved that was when I was able to take those porno magazines and pile them up and throw them into the garbage, praise God. Before that, I couldn't get rid of them things. Even after I got saved, the devil said, won't you just take one more look? I said, no, I ain't looking at them. Won't even look at the covers. I put them in things in the garbage and never looked at them again, praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So you got to learn, you got to give your life to Christ first, and then he'll give you the strength to overcome all the weaknesses in your life. Did I tell you Judges chapter 6?
Mm-hmm.
Judges chapter 6, that is right after the book of Joshua, right before the book of 1 Samuel. Now last week we talked about Gideon, we went through all his situation, his life and stuff like that, and I don't want to repeat all that. If you haven't, we'll get the audio to you soon. Let's look at verses 14 through 16 again. It says, and the Lord looked upon him, talking about Gideon, and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And we learned that in the literal translation, it actually says, thou hast saved Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Or if we look at it in all of the original Hebrew, it says, thou hast already been given victory over the Midianites. Praise God. That's the literal translation of that verse. And verse 15, it says, and he said unto him, oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And look, verse 16 says, and the Lord said unto him, surely. Say surely. Whenever you see a surely there, you need to understand that God really means what he's saying. Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Again, in a literal translation, it says, thou hast smitten the Midianites as one man. Thou hast smitten. See, God is speaking the language of faith here, and he's trying to get Gideon to understand the language of faith. And you've got to come to understand it. See, it may seem like you're lying, but you're not lying when you're speaking the word of God, praise God.
Amen.
When you're speaking the word of God, you're speaking truth, and God's truth has authority over circumstantial truth, praise God.
Amen.
When I told Mars to say by his stripes, he was healed, even though he was walking like this, he is speaking the truth of God's word and not what his leg looks like. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. So you have to speak the word of God in spite of how circumstances are. And that's what God was trying to teach Gideon. He was trying to teach him and say, man, you already got victory in this area. That sinful habit that you're dealing with right now, God has already given you victory in the area. You've just got to learn to claim it. But you got to deal with certain things in your life as well. You've got to put them away. Let's look at, let's go down to verses 25 to 27. It says, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy brother's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath cut down the grove that is by. You need look at keep in your mind the word throw down. He told Gideon to throw down the altar of Baal. See, Baal was a false god that was often worshipped by the surrounding nations. Praise God. Now, I'm reading this from Barna Magyarosi's book, holy war and cosmic conflict in the Old Testament. It's a scholarly type of book. But he says, the charge to destroy the pagan worship place in his own family tells Gideon that before any complaints about the lack of divine intervention in war, he has to fulfill the conditions specified in that promise. Praise God. Amen. In other words, if you're not seeing the victory, if you're not seeing you're not seeing yourself victorious in the struggle, maybe you need to get rid of some of the idols that you're dealing with. Remember what I was telling you about the magazines that I had to struggle with? I was victorious, but I can't keep claiming I'm victorious and I still keep the magazines sitting there, praise God. I can't keep looking at the magazines. I had to get rid of them. Amen. I had to get rid of the idols. See, I remember when I first gave my life to Christ, I had a number of nice little fantasy pictures, you know, horses with wings and all kinds of and unicorns. I had all that stuff hanging up on the wall. And as I began to study and see how these things were actually pagan worship objects and stuff like that, all the money that I spent on them things didn't matter. I said, these are hindering my walk with Christ. I took all that stuff and threw it in the garbage. Praise God. Amen. A lot of my secular music. Now, there's some secular music that's okay. I won't tell you what to throw away your secular music. I'm going to tell you what I had to do. But, you know, because some of that Michael Jackson stuff that I was listening to, some of that baby and all that stuff, I had to get rid of. I had to get rid of. I mean, I was back, you know, this is back in the 80s, so y'all, I'm dating myself. But I was a big Rick James fan. I mean, Rick James was the man. You hear me? I love me some Rick James. You know, a lot of people was into Prince back then. I was more into Rick James. But I had to take all my Rick James albums and all the other stuff, and I had to throw them in the garbage. That's what God told me to do. Praise God. Amen. Now you have to decide for yourself. But if you're not walking in victory, maybe you need to think about it. But that's what God told Gideon. Get rid of the Baal. Get rid of the idol. He said to throw this thing down. I see your hand, brother. We'll get your question in a moment. But he told him to throw it down. Say throw down. Yeah. You know, when I was a young man, when we talk about fighting somebody, we talk about we're going to throw down. Well, that's what God is telling him to do. He's telling him to throw it down. Get rid of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. You don't have to turn there. But Paul talks about pulling down strongholds. Praise God. It's the exact same thing that God is telling Gideon to do here. He's telling Gideon to pull down strongholds. Pull down the stronghold. Pull down the thing that's blocking you from receiving the victory that I've already made available to you. See, the reason why many of us are not walking in victory is because we have not let the Word of God get in us, and we're not walking according to the Word of God, and we're not pulling down the strongholds or the sin that so easily besets us. When we begin to do that, when we begin to, when things come into our mind, then we can take the Word of God and pull that stronghold down. Praise God. Amen. When temptation comes to us, you don't have to yield to it. I'm going to turn with me to Romans chapter 6. I know it seems like I'm giving you a lot of scripture, but this is I want you to understand that what I'm teaching you is based on God's Word and not based on what Pastor Troy says. Matter of fact, if it wasn't for the Word of God, I wouldn't believe none of this stuff. I'm telling you, if I wasn't reading it in the Bible, I wouldn't preach it to you, because I wouldn't. Because it's easier for me to sin. You hear me? It's easier for me to yield to my flesh and to temptation. It's the power of God is where I'm needed when it comes to dealing with temptation that comes in my life. I have to stand against the wiles of the devil just like you do, and I have to have the Word of God in me, or else I'll fall. And so as I've learned to succeed, I'm not 100% there yet. Every once in a while, that little thing might come out of my mouth. Every once in a while, I might dwell on that thought. Every once in a while, I might even let my head turn just for a couple seconds, but still it's those couple seconds that I feel like, God, I failed you. Amen. But you know, some, you know, it's kind of hard. I mean, especially go down to Kennedy Plaza, you see these wimp, these, especially in the summertime, you see these wimp girls, these young ladies, the way they dress.
Naked.
Yeah, almost naked. Just how kind of hard not to look. I mean, you gotta keep your head straight, boy. you gotta continually quote scripture. I shall not look at this woman with lust in my heart. I shall not look. You ain't looking. But you can do it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. But Romans chapter 6, you got to begin to declare things about yourself. You got to begin to state what God says about you. You got to begin to learn the language of faith and begin to speak in present tense realities what God has said, even if you don't feel it. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I walk by faith and not by sight. So if I'm going to walk in victory, I've got to say what God says about me in spite of how I feel at the time. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 9, I think it's verse 9. Yeah, verse 9. It says, knowing that, stop right there.
No.
You gotta, thank you, Rabbis. You got to know, praise God.
Yeah.
If you don't know, it won't help you. Some people say ignorance is bliss. What you don't know won't hurt you. Yes, it will. It will hurt you. So you got to know this. You got to know that before you can walk in this. You got to know something. That's why you're here at a teaching ministry, praise God.
Amen.
That's why you don't hear me jumping up and down, screaming and hollering, because although that might get you excited, you'll leave here quite often empty. I know, because I go to these things, I go to some of these services where they, and jumping on the chairs and stuff like that. And you know, not get into it just with them. Yeah, whoa, glory. But after I'm gone, after I leave, you know, I'm like, well, maybe I got a little something. I got excited. but you need to get the word of God in you, praise God. See, some of these preachers that going around screaming and hollering are the very ones sleeping with the women in their churches.
Yeah.
And they ain't got nothing in them. All, that's why all they can do is scream and holler. And then after that, they in bed with sister Blue Blue or whatever her name is. And then when they get busted, they get caught, then they want to get up in the pulpit and say, I failed.
Yeah.
God forgive me. No, you got caught. What happened? Now, you know, I'm not down on pastors that fail, praise God. We're all human, praise Jesus. And sometimes pastors can be sincere and still fail. But what I'm talking about is these wolves that's actually tracking. They're preaching, and at the same time, they're trying to figure out how they're going to sleep with you tonight.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah. They're looking at you. She looking good. I think I'll talk to her about how she needs to minister to her pastor.
So true.
Y'all know I'm preaching the truth. But anyway, so you got to know something, and that's why you're in a ministry that's teaching you the word of God so that you can know. Say, I want to know.
All right.
Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dies no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died once unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Verse 11, likewise, listen very carefully, likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
It doesn't say in the future I will be dead to sin. No, it says right now, recognize that you are dead unto sin, praise God.
Amen.
Let's use the illustration of a person whose body is dead. Now, if I have a problem with cigarettes and alcohol, amen. Then you can give me a cigarette and I might smoke it and alcohol I might drink it, but once my body's dead, you can put the cigarette near my body, it won't affect it, will it? You can put the beer near my body, my body won't reach out for it, will it? Because because it's dead, right? A dead, something dead can no longer sin. Something dead can no longer act. And so you need to recognize that you are dead to sin. When you walk by that ice cream store, for those of us who might get tempted to, you know, supply our needs a little bit too much in that area, we need to say, I'm dead to that. When you walk by that bar, matter of fact, learn not to walk. If you got a problem with alcohol, learn not to walk by bars. But if you do have to walk by a bar, say, I'm dead to that in Jesus' name. I remember some years ago when I was in Okinawa, and, you know, when I was in my 20s, back in the 80s, and we had a big witnessing team. We'd go out at night and share the gospel with all the people down in the red light districts and stuff. And so me and brother, we share the gospel, you know, we're witnessing to some people, and then we see this young man that we had led to Christ a couple of weeks ago. And he's back downtown creeping, you know, so we see him running to a bar. So my friend said, we need to go rescue him. And so I agreed with him. So we ran into the bar, and he was about to buy a drink and sit down with one of the some cute little honey. And as my friend is trying to talk to him, and I'm standing by the door, this go-go dancer gets up on the stage, and with nothing but, I mean, hardly nothing. And so I looked for just a moment. I went over, I said, bro, I'm going outside to pray for him. Because if I didn't do that, then the next week they would have had to run to the bar and get me out of there. So then it's all me creeping the next week. So, so you got to learn to discipline yourself, praise God. You got to learn your strengths and your weaknesses, and you've got to recognize that you are dead to that thing. I said, I said, I'm dead to this. It is not going to bring me back alive in that area. So reckon yourself to be dead. Say that, I am dead.
I am dead.
To sin.
To sin.
I am dead.
I am dead.
To sin.
To sin.
Say it with me. I am dead.
I am dead.
To sin.
To sin.
I am dead.
I am dead.
To sin.
To sin.
You need to state that all the time. You need to say, I am dead to sin. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, he has conquered sin. I am dead indeed unto sin. Praise God. Amen. And then verse 12, it goes on to say, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. See, if you are dead to sin, then you don't have to let it control you. If you fall into sin, it's because you let it. It had nothing to do with God. Really don't even have nothing to do with the devil. He brings the temptation, yes. But the Bible says that every man sins when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, it's like a young lady who came to me a couple of years ago and said, I'm pregnant, Pastor. I made a mistake. I said, that wasn't a mistake. A mistake is when I walk and I stub my toe. It takes time to take off your clothes, don't it? Don't it? Mm-hmm. Take a little bit of time. You have plenty of time to think during that time, don't you? Yeah. Like a friend of mine, when he fell into that situation, he said, you know, he walked into a woman's house, and she started rubbing his back, and he said, what am I doing here? And he got up and left. Or another brother said that he said, he calls the pastor up and says, Pastor, she's in a hotel, and I'm out here on the phone. What do I do? He said, run, boy. But Pastor, I can't just leave in a hotel. He said, yes, you can. He said, run. Don't walk. Run. Don't play with sin. Don't play with it, because it will get you. But it's up to you what to determine whether or not you fall into it. It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. You have the choice of whether sin beats you or whether you beat sin. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me read to you a couple more scriptures out of this passage, and then we're going to close out. It says, going down to verse 15. of verse 14. Actually, let's start with 13, because I love this whole chapter. This chapter set me free years ago. I studied this chapter and studied it and studied it as I was struggling with sin. And even when I continued to struggle with it, I continued to study this chapter and continued to get it in me. And I continued to declare myself, I am dead to this thing. I'm dead to this thing. Sometimes I would say it with tears, I'm dead to this thing. But now I can say it with boldness. I'm dead to this thing. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I'm dead to that bad temper. Praise God. Amen. I'm dead to that ice cream. I'm dead to that cake. Well, still working on that. But but I'm dead to it in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Look, verse 13, it says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You have the choice. You can make up your mind. Just like he told Gideon, throw down that idol. Gideon had the choice of whether to do that or not. Gideon was not going to see the manifestation of that victory until he did this part. See, it says you are dead unto sin, but you've got to now act on that promise, praise God. For sin, look at this, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin will not have authority over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. God's grace is sufficient for you. See, don't listen to this grace teaching that you hear nowadays that says, well, you know, you can sin all you want. God's grace is there. No, grace is the power to keep from sinning, not the authority to go ahead and sin. Amen?
Amen.
See, whoever you obey, that's your master. You sin, and it tells you right here. We didn't read that verse yet, but it tells you right here. Whoever you obey is your master. If you sin, sin is your master. Satan is your master, not God. Well, what, verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. This is the scripture right here that refutes all that stuff you hear on TV about, well, you know, we're under grace. We're no longer under the law. So God, you don't even have to ask God to forgive you. That's foolishness. That's not God. This is the Bible here teaching us that grace is the power not to sin. Verse 16 goes on to say, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Whether of sin unto death, you know what sin does? Sin leads you to death. Sin, see, it's not God, when you sin, it's not God that punishes you. Sin has within itself its own seeds of destruction. Sin itself will destroy you. That's the way sin is. It is made to destroy. Sin opens the door for Satan to kill you. Sin has its own seeds of destruction. Praise God. God is the one who tries to deliver you from both the dominion of sin and its destructive devices over you. So, let's go on down. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were, say ye were,
you were.
Say were,
were,
that ye were the servants of sin. You are no longer a servant of sin. Well, Pastor, we're all sinners saved by grace. No, I was a sinner. I'm now dead to sin, praise God.
Amen.
I am now a servant of righteousness. I am no longer a servant of sin. Sin can no longer tell me what to do. Sin used to be able to tell me what to do and say, Troy, let's go down there, down the street over there. And I would say, I don't really want to, but okay. Sin will say, let's go over here and do that thing over there that we ain't supposed to do. And I say, all right. See, sin had control over me, praise God. It no longer does. Now sin can say, Troy, let's go over here and do that thing. And I can say, nope. You're not my master. Jesus is my master, praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, but God be thanked that we were the servants of sin. Say, I was.
I was.
But not anymore.
Not anymore.
A servant of sin.
A servant of sin.
I am a saint.
I'm a sinner.
Praise God. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, the word of God, which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin. Say, I've been made free.
I've been made free.
Say, I've been made free.
I've been made free.
You being then made free from sin, ye became. Say, I became.
I became.
The servants of righteousness.
The servants of righteousness.
See, you were made free. See, this is present tense reality. This is the language of faith again. You need to learn to speak the language of faith. You need to say, I've been made free from sin. Say, I've been made free from sin.
I've been made free from sin.
Say, I am a servant.
I am a servant.
Of righteousness.
Of righteousness.
See, you've been made free. To whom the Son is set free, is free indeed. And then Jesus goes on to say, you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Before that, he says, if you abide in my word, let the word abide in you, then you will no longer serve sin. The word of God in you sets you free from sin, praise God.
Amen.
You are an overcomer because of the work that Jesus did on your behalf. Learn to study these truths. I wish I could spend more time and give you everything that I know on this subject. And we will one day. You know, that's the privilege of being a pastor, is I get to preach long series of messages that at some point y'all get bored with, but praise God. It's still for your good, and it's for to help you. Don't worry, next week we'll get back to all the goody stuff, but this week I needed to talk to you about this because this is what's hindering a lot of y'all from really receiving everything that God wants to do in your life. That's why I was so glad when Pastor Mary taught her lesson today, because I said this is confirmation, because sometimes you teach it, you don't really want to teach stuff like this, but you know, God said, I want you to do it. So you said, okay, Lord, I'm your servant, to whom I obey. And I'm saying to myself, man, I don't know if they're going to like this message today. But when Pastor Mary preached what she preached, and she preached it with boldness, I said, okay, glory to God. Amen. But you need to recognize that you are made free from it. He doesn't condemn you and say, stop sinning. No, he gives you the power. He's kind. God is not, he's not arbitrary. He doesn't tell you to do something that you can't do. He says, do this, and then he gives you the power to do it.
Amen.
He says, do this, and here's my word. Study it out so that you can have faith to appropriate that power that I've given you to walk in victory, praise God.
Amen.
So you can walk in victory over sin, and if you walk in victory over sin, then you walk in victory over the consequences of sin. If you stop hippity-hopping from partner to partner, you won't get venereal diseases. You won't get anybody pregnant, or you won't get pregnant. You know, all these things that, you know, I'm not telling you anything that I haven't been through. I suffer. I'm still suffering some of the consequences of my sin today. I thank God for his grace. I thank God for his mercy. That it could have been much, things could have been much worse. Things could have been much worse. But God's grace was sufficient for me. Stand to your feet.
Yeah.
Did you get anything out of this today?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything at all?
Yes.
If you got anything out of it, give God a hand, please.